For a word of prayer.
Lord God and Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity we have today to gather around your word, just to hear that amazing word again of all that Christ has done for us, how he sustains us in our life, how he sustains us as a church. We thank you, God, for that message today. Be the one who hears us speak your words, that you from your Holy Spirit clear our thoughts and minds and our hearts, that we might be receptive to that word and it only during this time. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, I am thankful to be here with you this morning. It's great to see all you folks here, Shepherd of the Valley, have folks joining us online as well. It was a big time to transition. Great time for you to be recalling just who this God is, who you are in relationship with him. And I think God's word today is going to help us in that process, help us get to that point of seeing who this Lord is, who we are in relationship to him. Something happened in our house this last week that kind of reminded me of God's word that we're going to read from Isaiah today. So a lot of you have shared with before church, I've got five sons. They're all ages 9 and under. There's a couple of twins thrown in there. Our youngest are all born in the same year, 2017. There's a lot of, you know, mayhem that happens in our house, a lot of rough housing, all that kind of good stuff. They're all boys. The other day, I come home for lunch, and our youngest son, Aaron, who's 3, has got something in his hand that he is just having so much fun with, running all over the backyard. He's just having a great time dropping this thing on the ground, picking it back up, running up this little hill we've got in the back of our yard, playing with it there. The neighbor girl's kind of peeking over the wall to see what he's up to, what he's got going on, and he's, you know, kind of showing her this thing and scaring her with it a little bit, and I thought, what in the world's he got in his hand that it's just entertaining him so much and causing such a ruckus? So I get a little bit closer, and I see that he has picked up a little lizard by the tail, and he's running all over the yard with this thing, playing with it. The lizard is just like frozen in fear the entire time, of course, and every time he drops, thinks it's going to run away from the mighty Aaron who has picked him up. And every single time, he can't run away. Now, don't worry if you're an animal lover out there. No lizards were harmed in this story, okay? Everybody turned out okay, and they were fine. But for that brief moment, 3-year-old Aaron, he thought he was on top of the world, that there was no one greater than him, as he, you know, kind of had the power over this lizard to play with him, to run around with him, to pick him up or drop him at his will. It reminded me today of Isaiah 40. Because in Isaiah chapter 40, you've got this picture of the Lord. And it reminds us, hey, when it comes to God, I mean, he really and truly is the one who has all this might, power, and strength. There is no one greater than him. Let's listen to that again. Isaiah chapter 40. If you want to turn there in your bulletins with me, you're welcome to. If you got a Bible on your own that you want to follow along with, that would be great too. Isaiah chapter 40. Let's just listen in one more time. The word of God describes to us who the Lord is that we believe and trust in. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 21 says this, "Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing, and makes the rulers of the earth as champions." Let's just stop there for a moment. Do you not know this? Do you not hear it? Do you remember just how great our God is? If you remembered over the last, you know, 10 to 11, I mean, kind of hard to believe it's almost been a year, right, since we started talking about all this virus stuff. Have you heard? Have you remembered who God is in relationship to all that? You remember that he's the one who's high and lifted up over all the earth? And just did a little note for you there, too. It says he sits above the circle of the earth. I mean, here's Isaiah, before there was, you know, all this scientific instruments and measure stuff reminding us, you know, the earth's not flat, okay? It's a globe, right there in Isaiah, right? God's the one who's over it all. He's the one who has power and might over it. So what are we like in relationship to that? Now, this is where the text is going to get a little tricky for you this morning, okay? He says, what are we like? What's the inhabitants of the earth like? We're like grasshoppers, it said. How do you like that this morning? You wake up this morning feeling a little grasshopper-ish. Not only you and me, right? Not only you and me, but even says, even the princes of the earth, even they're like grasshoppers. I mean, could you imagine if Isaiah lived in our time and called out our leaders and said, oh, you guys are just like grasshoppers? Could you imagine the tweets that would flow from that or something like that? But this is the truth, right? And before you maybe feel insulted about that or feel a little, you know, off-putting from that, there is some truth there. If we really kind of dig down deep and realize that there's some truth there, isn't there? God is so just great and holy in comparison to him. Oh, man, we feel like grasshoppers sometimes, don't we? And even as we kind of live life every day, I mean, you ever have those moments where maybe you kind of fear that you're just going to get lost in the shuffle? I mean, how many times do you really and truly think about grasshoppers? You know, probably not that much, right? Maybe if you're off in the garden somewhere, you know, you might. But when you left the house this morning, you probably didn't have any grasshoppers on your mind. You probably passed all kinds of insects, right? You didn't think about any of them. And in comparison to that Holy God, it can kind of seem that way, right? As we live life every day, sometimes it kind of feels like maybe you get lost in the shuffle a little bit. You wonder, you know, is this great and glorious God, is he going to remember me? Stuff I'm worried about, the troubles I'm seeking, you know, the sinful nature kind of gives you this temptation to think, he's not going to think about any of that stuff. You don't have time to pay attention to me. Maybe in the course of your own life, you see it, you know, sometimes you wish a family member would reach out to you. You wish that friend would call you or write you or text you or something, and they just don't. And sometimes you feel forgotten. And what about when it comes to church life? And here you are, Shepherd of the Valley, and you're wondering, you know, what's life going to be like when Pastor Colton retires? You know, what's the transition going to be like? And maybe you're feeling a little like a grasshopper church, right? Because what does everybody talk about in the church world? Let's talk about mega churches, right? Well, hey, guess what? The last year has kind of taught us even mega churches can be grasshoppers too, right? As we all sat at home and streamed church and the like. Sometimes you feel like you're just so lost, so forgotten. How's God feel about grasshoppers? That's the big question, Dad. I bet you didn't think you were going to come to church and ask that one, right? How's God feel about grasshoppers? There's a mother-in-law who can help us understand that. There's a mother-in-law, and she was really sick. She had an intense fever before there was ever a COVID-19 or anything like that. Nobody could do anything for her. In fact, she lived in a time, she lived in a place where basically you got an intense fever like that, you got an illness like that, it was certain death. It was time to say goodbye. But as her daughter and as her family were gathered around her, they didn't want to give up. They saw this intense fever not necessarily as the end, maybe is an opportunity for something big and miraculous to happen. So of all people, the son-in-law sprang into action for his mother-in-law. Would you have done that for your mother-in-law? Don't answer that one, right? Yeah, I see some heads nodding out there, so that's good. I would do the same too. I have a good relationship with my mother-in-law. He springs into action for her. He goes and he gets Jesus. Now, this son-in-law, he really doesn't know Jesus too well so far. They've just kind of gotten acquainted with each other. But he's seen some miracles. He's seen some powerful things happen with him. So he goes and he gets Jesus because he wants him to come to the house. And quite honestly, if I'm this man, I'm probably thinking to myself, you know, maybe I'll get him, you know, some extra points with my wife if I bring Jesus and he can do something here. So in Mark chapter 1, we read that Peter goes against Jesus because Peter is the son-in-law. Peter goes and he finds Jesus, whom he's just met. He has left everything he has to follow Jesus. He has left behind the old job of being a fisherman. Now he's going to follow Jesus, but now it's getting personal. Now it's his house. Now it's his family that's in trouble. What's Jesus going to do about that? Mark chapter 1, verse 29 has got an answer for us. You know, Mark chapter 1, verse 29 is one of those verses in the Bible that you might not think at the outset is like really that big of a deal verse. But in actuality, Mark chapter 1, verse 29 is one of the most important verses that you can hear this morning. It's one that brings an answer to how God feels about grasshoppers. Mark 1:29, follow along with me if you've got it in your bulletin or in your Bible. God's word says to us, immediately, Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Listen to that. Immediately, Jesus left, and he entered into the house. Now, mind you, this is Jesus who is that same God Isaiah talked about, the one who sits over the circle of the earth, the one who's got all that power, all that might, and all that glory, who is as holy as it possibly holiness could be. There he is, entering into this house for one sick mother-in-law. There could have been hundreds of people to go see. There could have been thousands, a whole crowd to gather. He could have had the mega church of mega churches back then. But he goes to the house of one woman. What's God think about grasshoppers? They mattered to him a whole lot. Even one person matters to the Lord. So Jesus enters into that house. He stops everything he's doing to go to that one lone house. And mind you, Peter is not exactly the best example of disciples throughout his whole life, okay? So if you're tempted to think like, oh, now this is Peter, big deal, big name, don't let yourself do that. Is this Peter the one who's going to go on to deny Jesus, the one who's going to say a lot of, just goofy things throughout his whole ministry with Jesus? And yet here he shows up for this one mother-in-law. That says so much, doesn't it? Reminds you, hey, if you're feeling like you're a little lost, you're feeling like God has forgotten or is not going to notice, read Mark 1:29. He notices, doesn't he? He notices grasshoppers, he notices you and this church. As it goes through transitions, it goes through a new phase and a new season now. The Lord's going to notice that too. There's grasshoppers and mothers-in-law with fevers, all that. They all matter to Jesus. And in their lives and in your life, this Jesus can do so much more than you ever possibly imagined. We read on in Mark. So Jesus enters the house. It doesn't say whether or not he wore a mask. I don't know. With this fever here. He goes into the quarantine zone, right? We're all familiar with this kind of stuff. Verse 3, we read this. It says, Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever. Immediately they told him about it. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. The fever left her. She began to serve them. Jesus goes into that house. He comes. He's not afraid of any of it, right? Fever doesn't bother him. He's not worried whether or not she's going to be contagious or anything like that. All the stuff we've been used to for the last few months. He's there on a mission, and it's a mission to heal and restore her. Because one woman matters to Jesus. One grasshopper. One church. One people, they matter to the Lord. So Jesus enters into this house. He's more than happy to heal her, to restore her, and make her well. You wonder sometimes if you matter to the Lord. You wonder sometimes if you wake up every morning if God thinks about you the same way that maybe you're thinking about him. You wonder if God is aware of all that stuff that is worrying you and weighing so heavy on your shoulders and on your life every single day. He does. Mark 1:29, it wouldn't mean a whole lot to us if we didn't have the rest of the story. The rest of the story is that everybody matters so much to Jesus that he's willing to go to a cross and die for you personally. He's willing to take your sins and your ugliness and your nastiness all upon himself. Because, grasshoppers matter to the Lord. And he's willing to rise again from the dead and spend all of eternity with you You know, think about that. You know, you spouses out there, maybe you have some moments where you get, like, exhausted by your spouse. But God comes and he says, I want to be with you for all eternity. No end in sight. So Jesus rises from death. Tells us right here that what happened to that lady, took her by the hand, picked her up, and served her, is the narrative, is the story that is going to happen for all people who call upon the name of the Lord, all who trust in Jesus Christ, all baptized into his name, you and me, same thing's going to happen. He's going to take us by the hand, and he's going to raise us up to life eternal with him. That's how much you matter to God. That's how much even this church matters to God. Because God's gathered you here in this place, and as much as you love him for the fellowship, the time, the memories, he's gathered you in this place because he's on a mission to make sure that you know it, and this surrounding community around you also knows it, and the people that you come in contact in your own personal lives know it too, because all those grasshoppers out there matter to God. Every single one of them. And so many years ago, he raised up this church in this place because the little grasshoppers around here matter to the Lord. And he wants them to hear his son, Jesus Christ. So you remember how this madness started here? Remember how it all started? Peter went and found Jesus for his mother-in-law. Because for all his sins and all his failings, Peter at least understood one thing. We've got to have Jesus in our house in order to have life. We've got to have that. We've got to have Jesus for there to be any sense of hope and any sense of life. Have you come to realize that too? Have you come to realize that within your house, your home, whether it's a couple of you, whether it's one of you, whether it's a whole army like our house has inside of it, that you've got to have Jesus there in the middle of it? Because when you do, there's life there. So when Jesus is in the house, then you start to love like Jesus does. You start finding ways to put up with people even though they have sinfulness in their life because you understand that Jesus forgives you, so you forgive them too. And you understand that God has steadfast love, and so you're going to have steadfast love for people. And you understand that there is a real truth in this world, that it's not all relative and it's not all choose your own adventure, but it's actual, that the God of heaven has revealed it to you, and that truth can guide and direct everything in life. And when it's in your home, you don't have to wonder, what do we do? Because God has laid it all out there for you. And do you understand that as a church too? I have no doubts that 41 years Pastor Colton has definitely solidified that for you. But there is this God who dwells within these walls and within your hearts and your lives. That really and truly is the thing that matters the most for this church. That Jesus Christ is here in this home and in this place. And as you go into the next seasons and the next times, it's going to be Jesus who's the one who drives and leads and guides everything. See, so starting with Peter, as he understood, we got to have Jesus here. And it ends with Jesus understanding and coming and taking action. That's such a comfort today, isn't it? Such a comfort to know that. I want to take you back to Isaiah for just a moment. I'll take you back to Isaiah because we heard all those words about, you know, all this greatness about who God is, all these great things about who he is. There's a question at the end, down in verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary. Young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up like with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Do when you feel a little faint, a little weary, maybe a lot weary in life, that the Lord comes and he renews your strength like an eagle's. That he never tires, never grows faint. We do, right? All of us have been a little more tired, a little more faint, a little more worn out the last 12 months. Maybe you look into the future and you wonder if you're going to feel that way forever. When you do, where do you go? Well, just like Peter, you run to Jesus. Because the Lord never grows tired, never weary. And when you run to Jesus, guess what happens? He is going to be there to renew your strength. And not go up with wings like an eagle, sustain your life. So that's going to be the key for you to gather and worship and continue on your life as a child of God. It's going to be the key for this church as it moves forward too. Maybe at times you're going to feel a little faint, a little low on energy. God's going to come. He's going to renew your strength. He is going to mount those wings on you like an eagle. And you're going to run and you're not going to grow weary. You're going to walk and you're not going to faint. Let's go to him now. Heavenly Father, thank you that you noticed everyone, all of us, Lord. Even though your word tells us this humbling truth that we are like grasshoppers, we know too, Lord, that you come to grasshoppers and you renew us. And you lead us, and you guide us, and you give us life through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that even when we feel faint and weary, even when we're faced with an uncertain future, that you will be the one who makes us soar, who fills us up, gives us those wings of an eagle. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to turn back to your bulletins as we...